The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada, it's Hugh Hewitt on September the 22nd, 9th, and 2020. I have to tell you, if you're a Roman Catholic, you have to understand the Democrats hate you. Last night, attacks on Amy Coney Barrett, a federal judge who may very well be President Trump's nominee for the seat vacated by the death of Justice Ginsburg, began to be attacked by Reuters and Newsweek for being a Roman Catholic who attends a prayer group called People of Praise. Senator Ben Sasse went out and said these ugly smears against Judge Barrett are a combination of anti-Catholic bigotry and QAnon-level stupidity. People of Praise is basically a Bible study. And just like billions of Christians around the world, Judge Barrett reads the Bible, prays, and tries to serve her community. Senators should condemn this wacky McCarthyism. Good for Senator Sass. I will have among my guests today Senators Cotton, Braun, Daines, and Mike Lee. At least two members of this group are on the Judiciary Committee. This will be seven senators in 2 days on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Asking, and I'll be asking them as I ask you, 1-800-520-1234. Should the Senate confirm the president's nominee before the election? Now, there are very troubling cases already coming out of Wisconsin and Pennsylvania where judges, in Pennsylvania's case, state judges, in Wisconsin's case, a federal judge, are messing around with the balloting already. The Wisconsin federal judge is a President Obama appointee. Keep counting. Let them arrive. The ballots that are arriving after Election Day, just fine. And the same thing from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. We need a full complement of judges on the of justices on the Supreme Court immediately. And if you don't think this isn't and if you're a Catholic, I don't know how you can vote for a Democrat. They hate you. Democrats hate Catholic. Oh, they'll say Joe Biden's a Catholic. How that's possible. Look, they hate you. Just understand that. If you go to Mass every week, and many of us aren't, if you're over 60, you have a dispensation in my diocese, for example. And they don't want you really during the time of the virus going near Mass. Some churches are taking extraordinary measures and making sure that there are empty Masses for people who are 60 and older. But if you're a confession attending, Eucharist receiving, benediction crossing, if you're just one of us, they hate you. And they hate Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa, who are Catholic. They'll hate Joan Larson. She's an evangelical. I don't know what Allison Rushing is. I don't believe she's Catholic. I don't know about Kate Todd. Those are the five on the president's shortlist. But it looks like it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. I don't expect it to be anything else. But he may surprise us. The president does love surprises. 1-800-520-1234. Why do Democrats hate Catholics? It's pretty easy. Democrats love abortion rights. They think that that's their sacrament. I think Rush Limbaugh invented that years ago, and he was the first, and I want to give him credit for it, and they react poorly whenever they think someone may not be a big fan of abortion. But to attack someone's religion right out of the box before they're even the nominee, as Senator Sasse said, that is QAnon-level stupidity and anti-Catholic bigotry. So my question today is the same as it was yesterday. It's going to be the same question until it's over. Do you want the United States Senate to confirm the president's nominee before the election? President Trump was in Moon Township, Pennsylvania last night, and he brought up the job he has to do right now, which is to nominate cut number 24.
And now we're going to pick a great woman, any one of the five that I told you, but any one of the women that we had, they're all great people, great scholars, great, brilliant people. Scholars. By the way, while I'm here, would anybody prefer that I pick a man? Is there any man that has the courage to raise your hand? There's one right there. I got one. We found one. Now we're going to pick an incredible woman, brilliant woman, and watch the abuse that she will take. Whoever, the decision's going to be announced on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Saturday, at the White House. And you see, we have tremendous Republican support. Two people, you know, always got to be two. Always got to be the two, those two.
The audio and the video, I'll play them again later. You should watch them. Mitt Romney made his announcement yesterday, and this just crushed Democrats, because I told you yesterday, I told you Governor Romney, and I call him governor because that's how I know him. He loves the Constitution. He knows how important this seat is. Governor Romney did what I expected him to do, cut number five.
I think there's some perception on the part of some writers and others that, gee, what happened with Merrick Garland was unfair. I don't agree with that. I don't know whether you think it was a good decision or not, but it wasn't unfair because it was consistent with history. It was consistent with precedent. It was consistent with the Constitution. So the idea that the Merrick Garland decision was unfair and therefore it has to be made up by doing something which also wouldn't make a lot of sense, which is saying to President Trump, you can't get your nominee either, that just doesn't follow for me. The Garland decision was consistent with history. The decision to proceed with a new nominee is also consistent with history and precedent, and that's where I come out.
Amen. That's it. That's so simple. By the way, he added this, cut number four.
Well, I think it's straightforward in terms of the qualifications you look for, which is someone who is an expert of the law, someone who has a record of fairness and judgment that you think is consistent with the law. I prefer choosing those folks who are, if you will, strict constructionists, meaning that they look at the law itself and the Constitution, as opposed to sort of looking into the sky and pulling out ideas that they think may be more appropriate than either the law or the Constitution. So I recognize that we may have a court which has more of a conservative bent than it's had over the last few decades. But my liberal friends have, over many decades, gotten very used to the idea of having a liberal court. And that's not written in the stars. And I know that a lot of people are saying, gosh, we don't want that change. I understand the energy associated with that perspective. But it's also appropriate for a nation which is, if you will, center-right, to have a court which reflects center-right points of view, which, again, are not changing the law from what it states, but instead following the law and following the Constitution.
This is the Mitt Romney that I told you was going to come through. I've known him a long time. I just told you this was going to happen. Mike Pence in New Hampshire last night at a Trump-Pence rally, cut number 20.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg lived an inspiring life. She paved the way for women in the law. And America mourns the passing of a true public servant. The Constitution of the United States provides that the president shall appoint judges to the Supreme Court. And before the week is out, after we honor the life and memory of Justice Ginsburg, President Donald Trump will do just that.
So it is going to happen. Do you agree, Bill, in Pennsylvania, should the president move quickly and the Senate confirm before the election? Hello, yeah. Bill.
Yeah, Bill, how you doing, dude?
Great.
Yes. And let me tell you something. I drive truck. I see a lot of signs for Pence and Trump, 10-1 to Biden.
Well, I hope Pennsylvania goes 10-1 for Trump. Thank you, Bill. Richard in Atlanta, should the Senate move before the election to confirm President Trump's nominee?
Absolutely, they should. And I'm looking forward to the hearings because I think we're going to have, I hope we have another episode of Voyeur Democrats fine-tooth-combing through the meaning of another yearbook page.
You know, I don't know if they're that stupid. But thus far, we've had 100 phone calls on this, 98-2 in favor of the Senate voting to confirm before the election. We'll keep taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1234 when we return to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384.
800-500-8384. The beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. Yes, it do. La-di-da-di-dee. La-di-da-di-dee.
If it's the Democrats,
the Charleston one,
then the beat goes on. The anti-Catholic beat starts, and it goes. History tells us they do not like Catholics. And Amy Coney Barrett, who may or may not be the nominee, put up with the anti-Catholic bigotry of Dianne Feinstein. Keep going. The beat goes on. And it's already begun.
And the beat goes on.
Democrats cannot be not anti-Catholic. They just do not like Catholics. It's that simple. Welcome back, America. Time for the market report brought to you by Birch Gold. Every morning at this time, I let you know what happened yesterday. You're probably a smart investor. You don't check the daily up and downs. You're not a day trader. Excuse me, if you're not a day trader, you know that you should have 10 to 25% of your investment in physical metals. Birch Gold will help you do that. All you have to do is go to HughGold.com. They will set it up for you. They will roll over a part of your IRA or your 401k. You don't have to send them any money. They just roll it over. Then they find the appropriate amount of gold or silver you choose, and they lock it up in their vault. And you have an anchor of financial stability in your portfolio, gold or silver. I prefer gold. They'll also sell you gold if you want just American Eagles or Canadian Maple Leafs or Krugerrands or whatever in your safety deposit box. They'll do that for you too. Text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747 or go to HughGold.com. Yesterday, as it became obvious that the president was going to nominate and the Senate was going to confirm a Supreme Court nominee, they are reacting positively. The Dow was up 140. The NASDAQ blew up 184 points. The S&P went up 34. Amazon went up $168. I don't know if you remember yesterday, I told you Amazon was going to have a good day. I never know what they're going to. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I knew that Amazon was going to. It oversold last week. People took profits, and I think it's a $5,000 stock, and it's at $31.28. And overseas this morning, we have rallies in Great Britain of 2.34% and in Germany of 1.68%. Gold dropped below 1,900. It's at 1,892, great entry point, all the way down. It could go to 1,400. It'll go back up above 2,000. You know, gold just never loses all of its value. It can, if inflation comes, save your rear end. The 10-year Treasury dropped a little bit, 30-year interest rate at 0.66%. But the key is, looks like another great day on the market because the Senate of the United States is going to confirm. Do you want them to? And why are Democrats anti-Catholic? Chuck in Pittsburgh, a Steelers fan. Someone dialed the phone for him. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Hugh. Great show. Hey, absolutely. They should confirm her. I don't even want to have a hearing. They should just go straight to a vote. I'm afraid the Democrats are going to do what they did to Kavanaugh and keep pushing this thing to Election Day.
I will ask the senators today whether we need hearings. I believe Lindsey Graham thinks we need hearings. I agree with Lindsey at this point. Lindsey's going to be a strong champion for this nominee. He has said so. He said it was quoted by AP yesterday. And to everyone who's listening in South Carolina, you have a great, great senator. Senator Graham has stepped up and is going to push this nominee through in time for a vote. If they have hearings, I'm not sure they should have hearings if they pull this impeachment nonsense. I'll ask the senators, Chuck. Thank you. Let's go to Georgia. Ray. If I had a producer, I'd play Georgia on my mind, Ray, if I had a producer, but I don't. I've got Dwayne.
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes, I think he should nominate, give it to Lindsey Graham, and watch him run with it. This is why we hired President Trump, for a situation such as this.
And it's why we hired Lindsey and Mitch McConnell. What do you know? Adam's working today. You know, thank you, Ray. A little Georgia music. You guys got to vote for David Perdue and two Republicans for the runoff. Georgia, they say, is going to go for Democrat. No, Georgia isn't anti-Catholic. Only the left-wing Democrats who live in California and New York are anti-Catholic. Georgia is a good group of people. Georgia. I had to go get that myself, America. If I'm going to produce my own show, it's really sad. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
And the song of you. The song.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt with Kyle Mills. If you've been listening for the last 2 weeks, I've been talking with Kyle about the brand new Mitch Rapp novel, Total Power. Mitch Rapp, of course, begun by Vince Flynn. I got an aesthetic question, Kyle. They put Vince Flynn on the title. Now, I believe in honoring my old friend, but Total Power is a Kyle Mills book. When do we? I know that Tom Clancy is still living on 30 years later in his book. When do they stop doing that?
Oh, I think probably never. You know, I mean, I am the captain of the ship that Vince built. So I think that's probably going to be the way it always is.
Well, you're a very, very good captain. I think Vince in heaven, good Catholic man like myself, is applauding Kyle Mills. By the way, all of your previous books available at kylemills.com. Let me talk about the power grid. You have a theory that SOT malware combined with attacks on 9 substations can cripple the grid. That's the theory at the beginning of the book. Well, people can read the book to see how it goes. Where did you develop your knowledge or your precise theory about the fragility of the power grid?
A lot of it comes from government reports. They've done a number of studies, and we're actually working on some protocols to secure the grid because there's just not much. I mean, most of us live somewhere near a substation. We don't pay attention to them, but drive by them. There's a chain link fence with a little padlock on it. You can just walk in, or you wouldn't even have to. We've seen attacks in the past where you just shoot a rifle through the chain link fence. And these are very precise and very delicate systems. The large ones, the transformers, are typically built in foreign countries. Some of them are too large to put in. Literally, there are substations where the transformers were put in with trains and the train tracks don't exist anymore. So replacing these things, they're all built to suit. If you destroy them, they are really not easily replaceable. And then if you combine that with a malware attack, you can do a lot of physical damage. So, for instance, if you overload power lines, they sag. They get hot, they stretch, they sag. Then they go into trees. Then you start a forest fire.
Well, you're
then
talking
you're
to a Californian.
That.
You're talking to a Californian
yeah.
where we've actually had that scenario, and we've had rolling blackouts this summer. Not as bad as under Gray Davis, but the forest fires last summer were all power line corrected. And you put the conflagrations that follow in here. But what I went back to again and again in my mind, nine substations, if you're going to do vulnerability assessment and response, our weak links ought to be surrounded by 24/7 security, especially after the Metcalf attack, which we talked about in our first interview. In fact, since that was 2 weeks ago, let's review for people. Metcalf occurred when?
Oh, 2013, was it? I think.
Yeah. And so snipers, one or many, took out substation in California. It was never revealed who. Obviously, proof of concept, dry run, people have different terms for it. How many people would it take to secure Metcalf, in your view?
Well, I think you'd have to do a lot of physical security, probably big, you know, kind of concrete walls have physical security, at least a security guard, and decent communications. In Metcalf, the communications were cut. So you'd have to have backups or create lines that were not so easily damaged or sabotaged. It's not super. I think Congress said maybe $5 billion to do it. I mean, in the context of also probably upgrading a lot of the grid, which, you know, some of this stuff's been around since before World War II.
You know what made me? So. I shook my head when you came up with the $5 billion number in total power. We've just spent $2 trillion twice, $4 trillion. There is no appropriation for the grid in that $4 trillion. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got to get the economy going. You got to help people out. You got to make jobs, repair the grid. So have you seen any kind of comprehensive solution proposed and adopted anywhere in any of the 50 states?
Not really adopted, but the government has done a report on it, and they have started kind of the process of trying to upgrade and secure parts of the grid. But, you know, the wheels of the government turn, you know, fairly slowly.
Well, actually, you have President Alexander say you can't paint a bathroom at the Agriculture Department without triggering a civil war. That's a little bit of an overstatement, but in fact, he's referring to how difficult it is to get anything done in Washington, D.C. Did you take the dysfunction in mythical President Alexander's time from the dysfunction of today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vince always wrote these books that felt very grounded in reality and that you felt like this could be happening now or it could be happening next month. So I think you have to reflect that. And, you know, it's pretty clear that in Washington, it's extremely difficult to get anything done because it does trigger a partisan fight. And even things that seem, you know, just perfectly logical, like we need to upgrade the power grid in the context of things. $5 billion isn't that much money for what you get out of it. But, you know, it all ends up coming down to who gets it done in their district and who makes money off it and gets campaign contributions and turns into a mess.
All right. Let me assure people who are Mitch Rapp addicts, Scott Cameron is back. And he's got a very significant role here, a couple of very significant roles. Do you have in your mind faces on these people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Scott in particular is a guy that I always loved that character. And, yep. and in a sense, I've expanded his role probably
yes,
beyond
have.
What Vince had because I love writing the guy. And to me, he's just, in my mind, he's a little like Captain America. You know, yeah. I see this kind of blonde, like patriotic guy. He's got kind of a good sense of humor and is, you know, loves his country and is fun. And he's a good foil to Mitch because Mitch is really serious and kind of dark.
All right. Now, I want to add kind of dark. You know, Mitch Rapp became controversial because of his unorthodox and illegal methods of handling people who are entitled to due process. I'll leave it at that. That technique is back for Mitch Rapp fans, and they're probably not going to lose any sleep over it in this scenario. There's a lot of due process going out the window here. Law enforcement dissolves without power, interestingly enough, and I think persuasively law enforcement dissolves. The military doesn't dissolve, though, right? You've still got the military operating.
The military operates, but it's in a difficult environment, for sure.
Yeah, they can't see. So there's a particular maneuver involving a trap. Do you think that could work?
I think so. I think everything I did in there, I think, could work. But it is funny to think of, like, the threats that you don't think about when you have power, like trying to track people. It was a really big deal if it was cloudy, because they needed to try to track them from the air, because they were having a hard time finding gas to track them on the ground. And so that was all built around the fact is, what's the weather going to be like?
It's terrific. Now, last question. And again, people have got to go out and get total power for themselves. Terrific read. Kyle Mills, you have introduced a new character, a Marine. She has a vital role at the beginning and the end of Total Power. I suspect she is coming back. Am I right about that?
You know, she might. I really like that character. And it's funny, the epilogue in that book originally was her joining Scott's team. And then I decided against it kind of at the last minute, and I can't even remember now why.
Oh, so, interesting. Yeah, I thought maybe Scott and she were going to become an item. Is there a Scott Cameron spinoff coming?
Not from me. That Mitch is all I can handle.
Oh no, that's not true. Kyle, how many more books do you think there are in Mitch Rapp land? Please say the right thing, which is an endless supply, an infinite number.
Yeah,
very good.
There's always another threat, and it's always fun to see how Mitch would handle it.
Are you going to be back next summer with another one?
Yep, absolutely. I'm probably halfway done with it.
KyleMills.com for all of your previous work and for Total Power. Thank you, Kyle. Great work. And remember, there are people at the National Security Council standing by and waiting for this. Next time, send your pre-publication release over to the NSC.
I'm going to do it.
Thank you. Great to spend time with you.
Thanks for having me on.
It's always good to talk to Kyle. Now, I want to go back to the fact that Democrats and Blue Bubble Media have already begun their anti-Catholic attacks. They don't even know who President Trump's nominee is going to be. And if you're just joining the show, United States Senator Ben Sasse, who's a member of Senate Judiciary Committee, launched at those outrageous smears, which he said were laundered through Newsweek and Reuters, because Amy Coney Barrett is one of the potential nominees. She's a judge on the Seventh Circuit. Senator Sasse said these ugly smears against Judge Barrett are a combination of anti-Catholic bigotry and QAnon-level stupidity. People of Praise is basically a Bible study, and just like billions of Christians around the world, Judge Barrett reads the Bible, prays, and tries to serve our community. Senators should condemn this wacky McCarthyism. We'll talk with Senator Tom Cotton, who is reported by Politico and The Wall Street Journal to have made a rather fiery speech at conference yesterday, urging rapid move to the confirmation. Tampa, Florida, John, should the Senate confirm the president's nominee before the election?
Definitely confirm. Morning glory to you.
Morning glory to you.
Just want to say I got my relief factor in before my 4-mile run on beautiful Bayshore Boulevard this morning.
Oh, yeah, I'm envious of you. Did you pass Mike Gallagher?
I did not see Mike out there.
Mike gets out there like every annually he'll be out there. Annually, Mike Gallagher gets out for a walk on Bayside Boulevard. I mean, it's at least once a year.
For the Gasparilla Parade.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight, so you might not recognize him.
That's what I've heard. I haven't seen him, though.
All right. So, but you agree, before the election?
Definitely before the election. The Democrats, they just stain and corrupt everything. This whole debacle with the impeachment, it's like the little boy cries wolf. I mean, how many times? And the media just carries their water. People are over it. They know it. And there is a fever here that is palpable. You can just feel it.
I think they've got to break the back of the Democratic Party at this election. I mean, up and down the ballot, people have to vote Republican so that the Democrats are rebuked back into sanity. We need two parties in this country, and they both have to be sane. Thank you, John. Alan in Georgia. Hello, Alan. What do you say?
Yes. Yes, Hugh. Good morning. I believe that the president should nominate the candidate. The Senate should take 3 days in hearings and then take the vote.
Well, I'm with you. I think it might take 2 days because of the Senate rules, but I don't know why this has to take longer than a week. I'll ask Senator Cotton when he comes on. That makes it 102-2. 102-2 in favor of confirmation. Thank you, Alan. Stay tuned, America. Tom Cotton is next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I am Hugh Hewitt. I'm joined by United States Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Hugh. It is good to be on with you.
It is reported in the Wall Street Journal and Politico this morning that you gave a speech at the Senate Republican lunch yesterday urging confirmation of President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court before the election. True or false?
Hugh, I don't comment on our private lunches, but I know Politico and Wall Street Journal are very well sourced within our conference. But I can tell your listeners this. The American people delivered a mandate to Senate Republicans in 2018, just 1 month after the Brett Kavanaugh vote, to continue confirming the president's conservative judges to every court, including the Supreme Court. I expect the president will make a nomination later this week, and the Senate will move forward without delay. I would point out, Hugh, that there is more than enough time to hold hearings and have a vote before this election. There's also little reason to have the kinds of long, probing, searching reviews that we've done in the past on some nominees if the reports are true that the president is going to nominate an appellate judge whom we just confirmed 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, that means we've already reviewed and vetted this woman, and really all that's left is a quick review of the public record of the opinions that she has written over the last 2 years. That can be done in very short order, Hugh.
Four of the five judges on the president's shortlist, Amy Coney Barrett, Barbara Lagoa, Joan Larson, and Allison Rushing, have all been confirmed by Senate Judiciary and voted off of the floor in the last 2 to 3 years. That would qualify as recent to you, would it not?
Yes, of course, Hugh. That means they've gone through an FBI background check. They've submitted answers to questions on every topic under the sun to the members of the Judiciary Committee. They've gone through hearings. There is really very little to do to update our vetting of this nominee if it is one of these women who has recently gone through that kind of vetting.
Now, Senator Sasse called everyone's attention to the anti-Catholic rants in Newsweek and Reuters against Judge Amy Coney Barrett. He said, Senator Sasse said, these ugly smears against Judge Barrett, a combination of anti-Catholic bigotry and QAnon-level stupidity. People of Praise is basically a Bible study, and just like billions of Christians around the world, Judge Barrett reads the Bible, prays, and tries to serve her community. Senators should condemn this wacky McCarthyism, end of quote. He's not a Catholic. You're not a Catholic. I am. I appreciate that. I think the Democrats are fundamentally anti-Catholic, and they can't help themselves. Do you expect more of this?
Well, Hugh, we've already seen it with Judge Barrett, if you recall, in one of the most contentious hearings we've had for an appellate court nominee. Dianne Feinstein remarked that the dogma lives loudly within Judge Barrett. Maisie Hirono questioned whether she could separate her faith from her rulings. These are the kind of attacks that one of the North Stars of their party, John F. Kennedy, faced in 1960, and they have no place in these confirmation hearings. I don't think the Democrats, however, will be able to restrain themselves. Let's remember, just 2 years ago, Hugh, they accused Brett Kavanaugh not of being a jurist who's too conservative. They accused him of leading a drug-dealing gang-rampering in high school. There's no low to which these Democrats won't stoop when it comes to the Supreme Court.
Now, urgency is on the side of expeditious consideration, Senator, because there's been a federal district court in Wisconsin that has made, I think, an erroneous ruling on ballots being acceptable up to, I think, 10 days after the election, maybe 14 days. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has said the same. Courts are messing around with the rules. Do you believe in urgency because of the pending election?
Well, Hugh, I believe that we should move forward without delay and without cutting corners. And as I said, we have more than enough time to process this nomination to a vote on the floor of the Senate. You know, Sandra Day O'Connor was confirmed in 33 days. If it's correct that the president's going to make his nomination on Saturday, that gives us 38 days. And we are in a much better position to confirm someone like a federal appellate judge than the Senate was with Sandra Day O'Connor, because that judge has just gone through our hearings. And when that judge is seated, then, of course, they will rule on all cases that come before the Supreme Court.
Now, your colleague, Senator Graham, is the chairman of the committee. I have great confidence, given his AP statement, that he wants to move quickly. Do you think he'll run the committee with a firm hand? It's his first time as chairman of judiciary when a Supreme Court nominee comes before him.
Yeah, I have a high degree of confidence in Lindsey Graham and the way he'll conduct this hearing. If you remember, he was a stalwart defender on the Judiciary Committee of Justice Kavanaugh just 2 years ago, and he has run the committee exceptionally well over the last 2 years, to the point where we are now confirming district judges in places like California, Hugh, which I know are very important to you. But in terms of the priority list in the Senate, it's pretty far down once you get past states with two Republican senators or even a Republican senator, a Democratic senator. So you can see the way Lindsey Graham has run the committee very effectively over the last 2 years, how he defended Justice Kavanaugh 2 years ago. I think that's what you'll see in the hearings coming up next month.
And I hope he gets Rick Richmond done in the interim, too. Last question. Mitt Romney, I predicted it for a week that he would be very solid on this. I just knew he would be. He announced that yesterday. Were you surprised, or were you, like me, very confident in Governor Romney, now Senator Romney's vote?
I was confident, Hugh. I mean, Mitt Romney ran for president twice. And the central plank of his platforms both times was that he would appoint conservative judges to the Supreme Court. So I see no reason why he wouldn't confirm conservative nominees to the Supreme Court.
Exactly what I said, and that's what has happened. Senator Cotton, congratulations. I'm glad you made whatever speech you made. And I believe the leaks from Politico and Wall Street Journal, well done. Be impassioned. Keep them moving. Don't let anyone say shamble along. Let's get this done in 2 weeks if we can. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.